And if we see in this verse here, we see there's a big difference here. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but the lying tongue is but for a moment. And as we go through this message, I want to help us understand some of those differences. I want to show you from the Bible by example and by what the Word of God says, how this comes into effect. You could ask the question, why am I preaching this message? I want to give you just a little bit of background of my personal experience. I was working on a sermon one time, and it was coming together rather hard. And as I was working on it, it crossed my mind. It hit me that, you know, I had determined in my heart that this was what I was going to preach on, but I hadn't really asked God what his options were. And so something similar to that had happened. I determined again I was going to preach on a certain subject, and this background came to my mind because as I looked at the passage, all of a sudden I thought, wow, this is going to be just too big to cover. And so I prayed about it, and while I was praying, this subject came to my mind about lying. And so this morning, I'm taking that as from God. Now, what all plays into that? It could be. There's various things that play into that. And one is simply that we're dealing with it with our children right now. And if you have any pointers for me, I sure would certainly welcome that. At this point, we have one against one. So one says something, the other one says she did it, and the other one says she did it. And that's what we're dealing with, this concept of lying. And so that may have played into the equation of this. But I also just wanted to give it to a reminder to you as well to remember to pray for us, because as you pray for us, as we prepare for messages, the Lord may prepare things in our hearts or bring things to our attention. And even while you pray and even while we ask God, there's still many times that maybe we're not quite sure why we preach what we do. But we're thankful for the leads that God gives us and that he also gives us a choice to look into his word. So this morning I'd like to talk about the subject of lying. What does the Bible teach about lying? The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And so what is the goal of my message? This morning I would like to give you at least three goals. One is to simply see the seriousness of lying or of telling an untruth. And again, as we look into God's Word will explain that to us and help us to understand that. Secondly, the goal of the message is to help us always speak with honesty and with truth. And of course, maybe some of us think, well, we don't have a problem with lying, but you know, it can come out in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of different ways that we can pose our words and what we speak, and I think we need to be aware. And thirdly, what is the goal of my message? To encourage us to keep teaching our children the importance of telling the truth. And that is something that we are feverishly working at right now, helping our children understand that they must tell the truth and they shan't lie. Well, moving on, the question, what is a lie? I like to give two things here. A lie is to deliberately say something that is not true in a conscious effort to deceive somebody. And I want you to understand the difference. Sometimes we may say something unintentionally that's not true. But this morning, a lie is something we deliberately say that is not true. I want to pick that out. I'm not promoting the other one. I think that's wrong. It could fall under a form of lying, but when we know we intentionally do something to deceive, we know it's a lie. And also, the other definition I like to give is to give a false impression. In other words, when we mislead someone. And so they are similar, and yet maybe they are a little different, but I just wanted to clarify that. I'm going to ask a question, what are some reasons people lie? And I have a few here. One is simply to cover up. You know, people do things and they have actions that aren't good and aren't right, and someone asks them about it and they said, no, I never did that. Because they want to cover it up. They want to cover their tracks up. And Cain did that in essence. He didn't say, no, I didn't kill my brother, but God came to him and said, ask him about Abel. And he says, well, am I my brother's keeper? See, he left him on a false impression. He tried to get God off his back. And of course, God was seeing through all that, but he tried to cover up. David also did that. He tried to deceitfully murder Uriah so that he would cover up his sin with her. But of course, again, God saw through all that. But one of the reasons that people lie is to cover up. Another reason that people lie is to gain something. You know, sometimes people are dishonest or they lie because it gives them extra money or etc. And we have an example in the Bible of Gehazi. He lied to Naaman in order to receive the riches because he wanted the clothes, he wanted the money, he wanted the riches. Another reason that people lie is to protect our image or ourself. Now again, some of these are similar, maybe give a little bit of a different idea. But when we do something wrong and we don't want to own up to it because it would make us look bad. And Peter lied about knowing Christ because he didn't want to get into trouble. He wanted to protect himself. He didn't want to admit that he was actually with Christ because of what he could have faced, I guess, with that. And similar to that thought, people lie to make themselves look better. Maybe it makes them look smarter. Maybe it makes them look wiser, more holier, or whatever. And Ananias and Sapphira lied in order to look good. It wasn't wrong for them to keep back the money. That wasn't the issue. But they lied in order to look good. Some people lie to excuse actions. Well, yeah, it's not really that bad. I mean, after all, yeah. And we see that Saul did that as well. Saul, when Samuel came to question him out about the sacrifice and offering, Saul tried to make his actions look good. He tried to justify them. But in reality, it wasn't right. Or some people lie simply to get out of consequences. And I thought of with our children, because they know that if they lie, there's some discipline that happens. And we use a rod of correction. And so they may lie in order to avoid that. So there we see there's some reasons or excuses, maybe we should say. It's never a good reason to lie. But people, this is why people can lie, and so we want to beware of these things. Now, I'd like to look at the foundation. I'd like to contrast the character of God with Satan regarding truth and lying. First of all, we'd like to look at God's character a little bit on this matter. If you could turn to Numbers chapter 23. I'm going to be looking at numerous verses. I don't have a lot of notes or thoughts written down relating to what I'm going to share, but I have a lot of Bible. It's going to be a Bible study, and the Bible will give us much direction on this issue. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Here it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he has said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he has spoken, shall he not make it good? We see here that God's character doesn't allow him to lie. There's two New Testament verses I'd like to look at. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, first of all. Titus 1 and verse 2. Breaking in the sentence here, but getting the thought, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Again, we see that God can't lie. It comes against his character. And also Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. I think I'll just stop there. We see here that it comes against the character of God. But in contrast, let's contrast that with Satan. Matthew 24 and verse 24. Doesn't directly use Satan's name here, but this is Satan's kingdom. It's his world. It's his domain. Matthew 24 and verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that it were possible they shall deceive the very elect." And so we've got a real lying problem going on here. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Again, I'm breaking in a lot of these passages to capture a thought. Jesus speaking, John chapter 8, verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." Speaking of Satan, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. Get the picture there of Satan. That's him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. Again, not... Well, yeah, it does bring Satan's name in this passage. Again, breaking in and capturing the thought, Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish." I'll stop there. And we see here that God's character, and God cannot lie, it's not his character. But Satan... that's him. He is a liar. And I just want you to understand that. Be able to see that. All right, more directly related to the question, how does God feel about lying? I'd like to turn to Proverbs 6. I'd like to read verse 16 and a few verses after. How does God feel about lying? We understand that God couldn't lie. And we also see that lying is from Satan and from his kingdom. Now, what does God say about lying? How does he feel about it? Proverbs 6 and verse 16 through 19. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So this morning I'd like to bring out that lying is an act against God and his character. And Apostle Peter confirms this in Acts chapter 5, 4, where he tells Ananias, "You haven't lied to men, but you have lied unto God." Also, notice that lying tongue is included beside murder. It's interesting to equate that list, lying right beside innocent murder. And so we can determine that God hates lying and he calls it an abomination. And later we'll come back to some other references that tell us specifically and directly what happens to those who do abominable things and who are liars. Moving on, what does the Bible teach us about lying? I'd like to begin in the Old Testament, Exodus 20. I have three passages I'd like to look up in relation to this question. First, I'd like to look at the Ten Commandments. Inside the Ten Commandments, we have this sentence about truth or untruth. It calls it a false witness. Exodus 20 and verse 16. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Moving on now to the New Testament, Colossians 3 and verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And here we see that it equates lying with the old man, and when we become a new man, we put it off. And James chapter 3 gives us more instruction on what the tongue is and how evil it is. But again, lie not one to another. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. It's another verse about what does the Bible teach about lying? Romans 13 and verse 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And so we see from this passage that the Bible teaches us that we should not lie. It also teaches us that lying is part of the old man, and it also teaches us that lying really isn't loving someone. So if we lie to someone, we don't love them. Now, I'd like to look at some of the consequences for lying. Proverbs 19 and verse 5 says, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 19. In these verses, we find direction for people who make a false witness against someone. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verses 15 through 20. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity, for any sin. In any sin that he sinneth, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. If a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges which shall be in those days. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shalt thou put away evil, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. And basically the thought is there that if you witness against someone falsely, then whatever punishment that he was going to receive would be given to you. So if you had a wrong relationship with, a sexual relationship with someone, you could even be put to death. So if you false witnessed against someone and it was wrong, then you could receive the death penalty. So we see that God really, really had this set up so that there was some serious punishment for those who false witnessed against someone else. I'd like now to turn to Revelation chapter 21. Here we have the ultimate and final, I don't know, maybe we shouldn't call it consequences or punishment, I'm not sure. But we're going to see here in Revelations what's going to happen to those who lie. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Moving down to verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Moving on over to Revelation chapter 22 and verses 14 and 15. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, that they and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whoso loveth and maketh a lie. Very self-explanatory, isn't it? Serious punishment for those that lie. Well, I think I'm going to move on, maybe get a little more practical this morning. What are some of the forms of lying to guard against? Well, there's a few things I want to bring up. What about gossip? Gossip is conversation about personal details of other people's lives, whether rumor or fact. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13 says, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I think we need to be careful with what we share about other people. Exaggeration. It's another form of lying. To state that something is better, worse, larger, or more common, or more important than is true or usual. Yeah, and we can easily get wrapped up into that if we're not careful, to make something look like it's not. Another one is silent lying, simply letting people on a false impression. You know, maybe someone says something and we know it's not true and we just remain silent. We need to be careful with that. I'm not sure where to draw all those lines, but we need to guard against this. Another form would be white lying. It's a lie that's not intended to harm, but told in order to avoid distress or embarrassment. Maybe we lie because we don't want to embarrass someone. Oh, okay, well, yeah, that never really happened. Or, well, be careful. Another form of lying is half-truth. Some truth, but not all. Twisting it to our advantage. Again, something we need to be careful with. If it's not all truth, It's a lie. Another form is hypocrisy. This is a false claim or pretending to be something we're not, or a pretense to something or we're not. So if we're claiming we are something we're really not, it's a form of lying. 1 John 3:18 says, my little children, let us not love in word and in deed. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And another one I want to bring up, I put it under the form of lying here, is kidding. I'm not sure what to do with all this. But to kid someone is to tell somebody something that is not true, especially as a joke or to tease. And I think we need to be careful. If there's any room for this, then I think we need to be certain that the people know that it is untrue. I know sometimes people say something and maybe they walk off and they never clarify it, whether it's an untruth or not, or whether they're kidding, and it can let people hang. But I want to bring this verse out. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 37 says, "But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil." And it doesn't appear that it leaves room for kidding in there, but on the other hand, I must confess I do that a lot. So it's something that I need to grow on or understand more fully from that. Well, moving on, what does the Bible teach about honesty? I'm going to flip this to a little bit of a more positive perspective. What does the Bible teach about honesty? Romans 12 and 17 says, "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21 says, "Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men." Philippians 4 verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true." What's the truth? "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." That's a very high calling, and that verse really, really comes against lying. Well, again, let's look at some practical areas to consider regards to being honest. Let's think about business or personal financial deals, swindling or shamming. And we need to be careful. If there's anything that leaves a poor testimony is crooked business deals and personal deals that aren't up front. Proverbs 20 and verse 14 says, it is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. Proverbs 20 and verse 23, divers weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. I also thought of log books and tax reports. You know, there's things that sometimes we feel, well, the government doesn't need our money. Well, the Bible also tells us to pay our dues. And I think that we need to be honest in these things in our life. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles." You know what? The people out there, they should know that we're honest people. They should know that we're telling the truth. We could think about the church family. How do we relate to the church family? Maybe this comes more in a spiritual level than a physical or a day-to-day basis on temporal things. Are we telling the truth? Ephesians 4 verse 25 says, "Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Let's be very careful that we speak the truth to each other. We could think about husband and wife relationships. What about truth? Are we being truthful with each other? Something we need to think about. Recently, I noticed that our neighbors put their house up for sale. And, of course, I wondered about it. And then I heard that, well, backing up a little bit, it wasn't too long ago they got married, and it was not a marriage that God could put his blessing on in the first place. But it wasn't too long ago they got married. I would say a year or two ago. Maybe it's been longer than that. And they did a lot of work to that place. And things just happened around that place. And after a while, I saw the place was for sale. And then I heard that the wife kicked him out because he was too much of a liar. Well, that's sad. But that's the world we live in, I guess, if that was truth. I didn't actually ask them, but I heard that from my other neighbors. So maybe I'm gossiping. Need to be careful. But if you understand the husband and wife relationship, should be honest. And I also thought of myths. We think of that, especially in Christmas, Easter time, you know, when Santa Claus supposedly goes down the chimney or the Easter bunnies come out. What are we teaching our children? We need to guard against the myths of the time that people are presenting as truth or could give an impression of truth to our children. And I also want to put a caution out for fairy tales. What about our children's books? You know, these are our children are innocent, and I think we need to be careful with what we pose to them and what they're reading, because their innocent minds will swallow things, and they may determine that something is true when it's not. We just need to be careful with that. Well, moving on, I'd just like to consider the fruit of honesty for just a few moments. Proverbs 12 and verse 17 says, "He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And here's our text verse, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." 1 Peter 2 and 12, "Having our conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And so we see there's good things that happen. We show righteousness. Our tongue, our truth is established forever. And God will be glorified in the day of visitation. Well, I'd like to close with a desire and a prayer from Psalms 119. There's two verses I'd like to consider from that passage. I believe this should be our prayer and our desire as we think of this subject of lying. Psalms 119, verse 29. "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously." And verse 163. "I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love." And I believe that should be our testimony. And so this morning, as we consider this aspect of lying, I just want to encourage us to be truthful, to teach our children to be truthful, and understand that lying is not from God. It's not a character of God. God hates it, and he will judge those who lie. So let's be faithful in speaking the truth, so that as the world looks on, that they can understand that we have honest hearts and that God may be glorified. God bless you. Let's kneel for prayer.